This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
We have one of the nation's experts on red light cameras, and that is Richard Diamond. He is a senior editor of the opinion pages for the Washington Times and a former aide to the U.S. House Majority Leader, 1994 to 2003, and he has been studying this camera issue for well over a decade. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So let me ask you, I mean, just first off, is this a good thing or a bad thing? What should we be thinking about this this first camera here in Central Virginia?
Sure. Well, cameras have been around for a long time, probably longer than you can imagine, and there's a wealth of data out there to suggest these cameras that are put out there as something that's going to improve safety actually make the streets far more dangerous. And we know this because up in Northern Virginia, cameras have been used for about seven, eight years, and accidents increased after they were installed. So is installing cameras in anywhere else in Virginia going to be a good thing? Absolutely not.
We're talking with Richard Diamond. The phone lines are open. If you got a question or a comment, your thoughts about these red light cameras at 977-1070. Richard, when this was first proposed last year, when they started talking about it seriously, all we heard from Albemarle County was how wonderful this was going to be for safety. This is a very big intersection, and locals know that people do run red lights there. Often, more often, it should be pointed out, when they turn, because the green lights are so short. And so you will see it more often on the turning than you do on the straight north or south on Route 29. But is a challenge with running the red light there. And so all we have heard from the county is that this is a safety issue. But can't this be seen? I mean, behind the scenes, aren't these known as just creating new revenue streams for a municipality that's on hard times?
Right. Well, if you actually look at what the companies that are selling these systems are telling municipalities around the country, they're saying, "Hey, you're having tough times. We'll come in, we'll install the cameras, we'll look at the videos and take the photos, decide who's guilty, mail the tickets, collect the money, produce public relations material, and create, if anybody challenges a ticket, we'll create a packet that will be sent to the court as evidence." These companies do absolutely everything. It's basically outsourcing the entire judge, jury, executioner into a company, and in the case of Albemarle County, a foreign company. When a county or a city looks at this proposal, they say, "Hey, they're going to do all the work, and they're going to cut us a check at the end of every month. And the worst that could happen is we make no money. The best that could happen is we could make millions."
Yeah, I think the deal that we're looking at here, number one, the company is Redflex that they're working with, and we want to talk about that in just a minute. But the deal is such that the first $10,000 every month, $10,000 a month, goes to the company, and any money above that each month goes to the county's general fund. And it's my understanding that that's been sort of promised or earmarked for law enforcement, for the police station would get that money.
Right. Whenever you find a jurisdiction approving the use of red light cameras, it always happens during budget season. And it's always presented in terms of, this is how much money we're going to make, and they'll even put in the budget estimates. We're going to make $500,000. We're going to make $1 million. We're going to make $2 million. And that's really what shows the true motivation, for the local officials that are making the decision. All they care about is, one, making money, and two, I think there's also an element of, they want to go around and say, "Hey, look, I did this to make the city safer." It sounds good, and it appeals to some people in the community. But the more you live with these cameras, the more you kind of look what's happening behind the scenes of these systems, you'll realize that it's just a gigantic scam to make money.
We're talking with Richard Diamond. He's a senior editor of the opinion pages at the Washington Times, and we're honored to have him with us. His website is thenewspaper.com, and we have lines open at 977-1070. Larry is with us on Charlotte Hill right now. Larry, you're on with Richard Diamond. You go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Just a quick question. You cited the statistics in Northern Virginia. Do we have any other statistics in the city, say the size of Charlottesville, to compare with?
That's a great question. Richard, you know, when we talk about evidence that these cameras make intersections less safe, what evidence are we talking about and where's it coming from?
Sure. The evidence is really solid. There's no evidence for the Charlottesville area because the cameras are too new down there. Virginia Beach has sort of had them the longest, and even Virginia Beach's data isn't kind of, there's not enough information there to make a judgment. But up in Northern Virginia, we have 7 years worth of data, which statistically speaking is, you know, for traffic matters, that's a great, that's a lot of data. And what we found was, the University of Virginia and the Virginia Department of Transportation have a joint kind of think tank called the Virginia Transportation Research Council. And it concluded in 2007 that the Northern Virginia cities that use cameras, the total number of accidents went up 29%. And that consisted of rear-end accidents going up 42%, angle collisions, T-bones, the ones that are, you know, commonly said are the worst, those went up 20%. And the number of injury accidents, that's where somebody goes to the hospital, those went up 18%. So all across the board, the cities that installed cameras in Northern Virginia, there was more people going to the hospital, more people going to the body shop.
We're talking with Richard Diamond of the Washington Times about red light cameras, and the phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. And it's my understanding, Richard, that these numbers like these come from all over the country and from Canada, and that we're seeing a number of municipalities taking the cameras out after they've seen these kind of accidents go up.
Yeah, that's true. As far as the latest data, just last week, data came out of the insurance company Manitoba Public Insurance in Winnipeg, Canada. Now, why that's important, up there they have a socialist insurance system where there's just one insurance company. So that company knows every single accident, how much it costs to fix the cars, how much it costs to pay the hospital bills, very complete data set. And the accidents went up a lot. Every single intersection in Winnipeg that had a red light camera, there were more accidents. It was about a 30% increase.
Amazing. We're talking with Richard Diamond of the Washington Times, and Gene is with us on Charlotte Hill right now. Gene, thanks for the call. You go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, we're talking about the accidents going up. Is that possibly because not informing the public that they are cameras now watching them, and they just plow on through the intersections? I know the Rowell Road and 29 North, I've had three or four real close calls there for people running red lights, and you know, if they had something to deter them from doing that, I think it would stop. I have a question though: if those statistics are right on the accidents going up rather than down.
Yeah, Gene, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. And we got a line open at 977-1070. How reliable are these studies, Richard? And I would agree with Gene. I think something needs to be done. I am of the group of folks who think that you can increase the yellow light time. That has been shown to decrease accidents. And I'm also a fan of traffic circles. Those are much more safer for drivers and pedestrians. What do you think, Richard?
That was a great question. There are alternatives, like you mentioned, increased yellow light times that have proven to reduce accidents and reduce violations. The problem is it doesn't make any money. But to respond directly to his question, what causes the accidents? When there's a red light camera up, you have two classes of people. People who know the camera's there, they know, you know, they're familiar with the intersection, and people are just kind of passing by and don't know there's a camera there. And what happens when you have somebody who knows the camera's is there, light changes to yellow, they'll slam on the brakes, even though they have plenty of time to get through. The guy behind has no idea what's going on, slams into the guy in front of him, boom, you've got an accident. And that is the largest type of accident increase that happens at the intersections where cameras are installed.
And Richard, this is consistent around the country and throughout Canada. Wherever we've seen these red light cameras go in, this is exactly what happens. No matter the state, no matter where you are, no matter the weather, this is what we consistently see in every study.
Well, almost every study. I mean, Los Angeles, California, just a couple days ago, the city auditor came out with numbers showing that the accidents went up. But when you looked at the Los Angeles kind of police department and city officials, they kept on saying, hey, the cameras are great, they're fantastic, we're reducing accidents, we're saving lives. And in fact, the officials in Winnipeg said the same thing. What happens is you're going to hear some studies from people who make money off of these systems. And when you have a financial interest, there are ways you can kind of finagle the numbers and paint a happy face on statistics that if you looked at them with an honest eye, you'd have to conclude these things are dangerous.
Yeah. We're talking with Richard Diamond of the Washington Times. Richard, we're going to have to break here at the bottom of the hour for local news and weather really quick. Can you stay with us through the break?
Yeah, absolutely.
Terrific. And let's see if we can't squeeze in one more call before we do that. Bob is with us online, too. Bob, you with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, you go right ahead.
I don't know that you've talked about this at all. I kind of tuned in late, but I'm thinking about the privacy issues, the idea of Big Brother in the sky. The whole concept of having cameras watching me is really uncomfortable. I'm just wondering about that as an issue with this. The idea of Big Brother is a pretty scary one to me. Just would love to hear, you know, your thoughts about that and maybe the guests.
Yeah, that's a terrific question. And we hear that in all of these places where they're installed, Richard, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of times these systems can be set up for 24/7 monitoring. So even if you're not running a red light, it'll identify your car by your license plate every time you drive through. And the police can set it up so that it sends a text message or an email anytime somebody they want to track drives through the intersection.
My God.
Yeah, and I mean, it sounds great. You could use that to find a criminal. You could use that for an Amber Alert. But you could also use it to track your ex-wife or a politician. There's plenty of ways these things can be misused. And there's a lot of reason to have genuine concern about how much can be done when you put this power into the hands of not just the police, but a foreign company.
And that's what we want to talk about when we get back, the fact that this is a foreign company. And we'll also talk about if the municipality that installs them, given so much warning and so many studies that show that they make intersections danger, can you sue them? If you have an accident, do they have any culpability because they know going in that it actually makes traffic at this intersection less safe? We're talking with Richard Diamond. He is a senior editor of the opinion pages at the Washington Times, and we're honored to have him on the program. We will rejoin our conversation with him in just a few minutes after this break for local news and weather. Let's go to Eric. He's been waiting very patiently. Eric, you're on with Richard Diamond. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to know first if there are any localities that have tried this and had the experience that you guys have indicated based on the studies, which are pretty overwhelmingly showing that these things don't make anybody safer. Because what happens, I think, is localities get addicted to this tax revenue. These things are essentially electronic tax collectors. They turn the presumption of innocence on their head, and, you know, they're not perfect either. They certainly catch innocent people as well. So do we have any examples of localities trying this and then saying, hey, we don't like this technology for a variety of reasons, then removing it?
Oh, definitely. There's been a number of cities all across the country that have tried it out. And a lot of times what happens is they don't make as much money as they expected for whatever reason. In Arizona, for example, they had speed cameras on the freeways, and people were getting so many tickets that they just said, hey, we're not going to pay these things. And the revenue didn't come in as they were expected, and the state just decided, hey, it's not worth the hassle. Listeners should know that actually in Virginia, if you are mailed a ticket from a red light camera company, you do not have to pay it. You only have to pay a ticket if it is delivered in person, served in person by a legal process server or a police officer. And because that costs money to have that kind of personal service, if you throw your ticket in the trash, there's really nothing they're going to do.
Now, that's amazing. I haven't heard that yet. So we should, if you get one of these things, just throw it away, because what are they going to do?
Yeah, and Arizona has the same law, and it was upheld by the courts there. If enough people do that, then the system falls apart. It makes no money, and eventually they'll give up.
We're talking with Richard Diamond. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. Richard, if we do have a number of studies from around the country and Canada showing that intersections are actually made less safe and that this really is just a hidden tax, as Congress concluded in 2001, a hidden tax on motorists, if we know that going in and you have an accident at this intersection after the camera goes live, is there a measure of culpability? Can you actually sue the county for putting this camera in?
Well, you could sue. There's a high legal bar you have to overcome to get around sovereign immunity. It's almost impossible to win a case like that, because the way the courts have these programs set up, they say that if there's a rational connection between saving lives and the law, the red light camera law, then, it's going to withstand scrutiny and it's going to, and they're not going to be liable. So that is going to be a hard case to win. That's not to say there are other avenues of legal attack. In fact, there are quite a few, and they would be extremely successful. For example, the Virginia Constitution says, the proceeds of all fines collected for offenses committed against the Commonwealth have to go to the state literary fund, which is, it has to go to the schools. And these fines are not going to the schools for the red light camera tickets. They're going to a foreign company, and they're going to the cities and the counties. And that is a direct violation of a very clear constitutional mandate.
That's amazing. So tell us now, when we've been referencing this foreign company, Redflex is the name of the company that is working with Albemarle County to provide the cameras and monitor the pictures and video that will be taken at 29 and Rio Road. Richard Diamond, who and what is Redflex?
Sure. Redflex is a company based in Melbourne, Australia. It's pretty much the biggest red light camera provider in the country. It shares about a little over 50% of the market with another company kind of biting on its heels. And it is solely in the business of running these ticketing systems all over the country, to make money. And it's a big business, and if you look at their sales presentations, you can find them online, redflex.com, they predict that if they could get cities to put cameras on every street corner, that the market for these systems could be billions of dollars. And that's what this is all about. It's about making money.
We're talking with Richard Diamond of the Washington Times. Albemarle County will install its first red light traffic camera at Route 29 and Rio Road beginning on October 11th. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. Chantel is with us on Charlottesville right now. Chantel, you go right ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Coy. I was calling to ask, do you think that the Rutherford Institute or another organization like that will protest this in a legal manner? Because it sounds like there's many things that are not exactly kosher about this new red light recording device.
It's a terrific question, a great point, and I appreciate the call. I do know that my friend John Whitehead at the Rutherford Institute researched this very subject this summer and prepared a white paper about it, and he has told me in person, looked into my eyes, and he says, these things are no good. These things are bad. We don't want one of these things around here. To what extent he will bring any kind of legal action, I'm not quite sure, but Richard Diamond, tell us now who, as far as I know, opposition to these things is really across the board, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. You have groups like Campaign for Liberty, which is a libertarian group, on one end, and on the other, you have the NAACP is against them, the ACLU in most parts of the country is against them. So you've got a really interesting mix of people on the left, on the right, and it's really not a partisan issue. In some states, you have Republicans pushing the cameras, and in others, it's you have Democrats, and it's members from both parties. There are members from both parties who think mostly about revenue.
Yeah, and that's really what this is, and we want to remind people this is not about safety, as that's the lip service to safety, but this is about a municipality creating another revenue stream in hard times. That's how I read it, and I think evidence will bear me out on that. Let's talk briefly about the politics of it, because it would seem to me that real conservatives would stand up and say, hold on a minute, this is Big Brother, this is big government, this is camera, this is the burden of guilty until proven innocent is flipped on its head. This is a hidden tax on motorists, and yet we have in Albemarle County at least supposed conservatives keeping very quiet and sitting on their hands about this.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some people who kind of pass themselves off as conservatives like to like the cameras because they can go to their constituents and say, "I didn't raise your taxes." But behind the scenes, what they're doing is they're taking money out of your wallet through other means. Sometimes it's fees, it's tolls, or in this case, it's tickets. And, if for a true conservative, the goal should be stop extracting money from the people. Stop spending money so you don't need that extra revenue. That's what a real conservative would say. So I don't think any real conservative could stand up and support these systems because they're wrong on a constitutional perspective, they're wrong on a practical perspective, and they're wrong on a legal perspective. They're pretty much wrong in every way you can look at them.
Yeah, and truly, it does sound to me like this is a clear violation of the Virginia Constitution if this money is not going into the state literary fund, but is going into some bank account for Albemarle County and then into law enforcement. We're talking with Richard Diamond. He's a senior editor at the Washington Times. We're honored to have him with us, one of the nation's experts on red light cameras. He's been researching and writing about them for well over 10 years. The phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. Gene is back with us. Gene, you're on with Richard Diamond. You go right ahead.
Hi, Coy. Do we have any idea how much a ticket will cost?
Yeah, the ticket is set by state law. It's going to be $50.
Because the comment I wanted to make was my husband recently got one in D.C. It was $150.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's what we said. And he wasn't aware at all. And then, the envelope comes, and I thought it was for fundraising until I looked through the little window in the front. And I said to him, oh, my gosh, you have a ticket. He was totally floored.
And the truth is, it is fundraising. And
yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. Richard, is it not?
Absolutely. And although Virginia's ticket is $50, that's $50 now. You have to realize that what they're looking to do is have people become accustomed to these, and then eventually we'll move to where California is, and those tickets are $500.
You're kidding me.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And it's even worse than that, because what we're talking about, ticketing people for running red lights, a lot of people picture that as, you know, those crazy people who just blast through the light like they're not even looking, and it's really dangerous. You can sort of see, okay, you kind of wish that guy would be penalized in some way. But that's not what these cameras do. What these cameras focus on are two things. People who just barely miss that yellow light by a fraction of a second. That's like a completely harmless violation. It's so technical that you can't even see it with the naked eye. That's the first type of ticket. And we're talking, when I say that, 80% of the tickets are for split-second violations. That means the yellow has been has changed to red less than 1 second ago. The second type of ticket is for people who turn right on red. And this is a type of violation that if you look at the collision statistics nationwide, it doesn't cause accidents because you are moving 5 miles an hour. It's almost negligible cause of accidents. If you look at the collision statistics.
So, but we're allowed to turn right on red at this intersection, as I understand it, and we're allowed in Virginia at most intersections unless it's marked no turn on red. Would we still get a ticket and our picture taken if we're obeying the law and turning right on red?
Yeah. Well, here's what they do. They get you in two ways. One, as you're pulling up on the light and you want to take a turn, and the light's yellow. And if you just barely miss that yellow and you just creep through the turn, boom, you're going to get a ticket. If it changes right there when you're making the turn. The second thing they do is they say you didn't come to a full stop. So that if you go and to make that turn and, you know, you slow down to like 1 mile per hour, boom, you get a ticket. Now, here's the third way they get you. You stopped, but you didn't stop at the right line, the correct line. There are cities around the country that are ticketing people who do come to a stop, say at the edge of the intersection, but they didn't stop at the stop bar before advancing up and making the turn. So these are ways that cities around the country are using to game the system to ticket people for things that aren't dangerous but generate a ton of revenue.
Amazing. If you just joined us, we're talking with Richard Diamond. He's a senior editor at the Washington Times and one of the nation's experts on red light cameras. Albemarle County will be installing its first red light camera in our community on October 11th at Route 29 and Rio Road. The phone lines are open for you at 977-1070. And Richard, let me just say very quickly, I bet a lot of people around here, when they start getting these things in their mail, are going to get very, very angry. Let's go to Kevin. He's with us. Kevin, thanks for your patience. Go right ahead.
Hi, Coy. I would challenge your assertion that this is just about revenue. It's not a tax. It's a fine levied on people who break the law. I'm not going to pay that, and if you don't want to pay it, then don't run the red light. It's very, very simple.
Kevin, thank you for the call, and let's go to Betty on, too. Betty, go right ahead.
Well, hi, Corey. I a little bit agree with the guy before you in that a yellow light means slow down and stop, and I've been at that intersection, very dangerous intersection. I've seen people run that red light, and I think and I've almost been hit, so I kind of think somebody does deserve to have a ticket. But on the other end of it, I think that there is some of the things that you've described, in my opinion, are exactly fair, like the bar, stopping at the bar. But my main contention would be this. if you hired a policeman and paid him a salary, if it's really going to generate that much, you know, revenue, you would probably end up with the same amount of revenue after, you know, all the tickets were done if he just sat there all day long, and we could feed his family and we could pay his wage and he could spend it in the county and he could be a happy little person going around town buying his groceries and everything else. And he would catch the people. He would say, oh, well, you know, you didn't quite stop at the bar, but he wouldn't give you a ticket for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we would have a gainfully employed police officer, and then when there's a robbery, oh, he doesn't need to catch us at the stoplight. He can go about his business and actually contribute to the community in two very distinct and different but excellent ways.
Rather than sending $10,000 a month to Australia.
Yeah, I think there are plenty of police officers in this town who would be more than willing to work for $10 and probably even put in a little overtime.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we could, you know, why didn't we look at that? I mean, that is so ridiculous that we're spending money to a foreign government, although we all love Australia. But, you know, it's just, it doesn't make sense to me, because you really could even pay his pension with $10,000.
Yeah, it's an excellent point. Betty, thank you so much for joining the conversation. It's a terrific point. Richard, your thoughts?
Sure. That's actually a perfect point. Here's why, if you put a police officer at that intersection, wouldn't work at generating revenue. Because it does what the cameras don't do. People would see the police car, and they would drive more carefully. And if that's your goal, you would put a police officer there, or have them, you know, driving through the community.
You would make it safer.
Yeah, you would make it safer.
But that's not what this is about.
That's not what this is about. And saying that a cop could issue that many tickets, no. The police officer can't issue that many tickets. Because the police, these violations that make up the bulk of the citations with these automated systems are so minute and so technical, like the human eye could never capture them.
Yeah, yeah.
And to the caller before who said, you know, if you break the law, you deserve it, and you should get the fine. That's assuming that you're the one who was driving when you get the ticket in the mail. There are, first of all, about a third of the time, you know, statistically speaking, the person who gets the fine and wasn't the person driving. It's usually, you know, a husband, a wife, or some other family member. And the second thing that happens is because the system is designed solely about making revenue, that when there's a questionable license plate that comes in, like the photo's a little fuzzy, what happens is the guys in Australia look at that plate and they just kind of guess, oh, that's a J, or that's an O, that's a Q. You know, O's and Q's are on a license plate. Photos are kind of hard to distinguish one from the other. And what happens is people who've never been to Virginia are getting tickets from Virginia.
Oh, my God. Amazing. Let's go back to the phones. Richard. Richard, you're on with Richard Diamond. You go right ahead real quick.
I lived in Seattle, and I moved to Virginia. The last thing I did was to execute the sale of a car and came to Charlottesville, and about 6 weeks later got a ticket for running a red light. I called them, and I said, you know, I wasn't even in the state. And they said, well, you're responsible for filing the, signing the back of the title and having it transferred, or you're liable for the ticket. And I said, I did that. I went down and I gave them the title when I left, filled it all out. And they said, well, the paperwork didn't catch up and you're liable. And I said, well, I wasn't even in the state. I wasn't a resident of the state. You know, they made me pay the ticket.
Amazing. Richard, thanks for the call. Let's go to Peter. Peter, you go right ahead.
Yeah, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
To agree with the people who say this really is about safety. It's hard to hear somebody from Washington complaining that Rio Road intersection is not safe. And this is only about money. It's a very dangerous intersection, and I hope that we actually add these to Hydraulic and Greenbrier as well. We need, people are just not driving safely in this community, and people who are fined pay the fine, and maybe they won't rear-end somebody the next time.
Peter, thank you for the call.
That Rye Road's a very dangerous intersection.
Yeah, Peter, thank you for the call, and I appreciate you joining the conversation. Richard Diamond is with us from the Washington Times. Richard, do you find that often when people hear your thoughts about it, it's an instant assumption that you don't think things are safe and you somehow support the running of red lights?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of times what happens is the people who make money from these systems, now, and I'm talking about the politicians and the people who work for the companies, I'm not talking about the caller, they like to paint their opponents as scofflaws because it kind of demonizes them, and it's a way to make their, you know, their opinion just seem not worth listening to. But we absolutely have dangerous intersections all over the state.
And yeah, and I would agree that this is one of them. I mean, this is a dangerous intersection. I agree with that.
Yeah, but what's happening is you are making an incentive not for the municipality to fix the intersection. You're creating a financial incentive for them to keep it dangerous. Because if they fix the intersection, they lose money. If they leave it as it is, they make money. And that is a very perverse incentive.
Richard Diamond is a senior editor at the opinion pages of the Washington Times and one of the nation's experts on red light cameras. The website is thenewspaper.com. You can also check out fireredflex.com. Richard, it's been a great honor to talk to you. We'll have to have you on again sometime.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.